Welcome to the Professional Plumber Podcast. We hope that these podcasts will bring some insight into who we are and what we do. So while in conversation with the PIRB, sit back, enjoy, and make sure to connect with the PIRB on Facebook or at pirb.co.za for more.
A warm welcome to our audience. My name is Willem Klopper. I'm your host. And in this episode, we will discuss solar system design. With me in studio, I have Richard Bailey. And Richard, warm welcome. Thanks for joining me in studio.
Yeah, thanks, Willem. It's actually the first time I've been in studio.
Always dialing in from Cape Town.
Yeah, and it's a different situation completely.
Lekker to have you with me in studio, face to face. We're having this conversation. Lekker technical discussion again today, discussing solar system design.
This is one of my favorites. Those that know me know that I'm a little bit of a fanatic on solar and alternative energy. So, yeah, this is one of my real passions and getting it right and seeing properly installed solar systems.
Awesome. We'll give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves right after this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
Richard, so off we go. What are we actually referring to when we use the term solar system design or system design for that matter?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the solar systems, they consist of many configurations. It's not just one size fits all scenario. You've got to be able to design a system around a particular set of, circumstances or conditions. And that includes patterns of use and so on and so forth. Each design or each configuration has its own set of characteristics, the way that it operates, the way that it performs. Pumped systems, for example, work differently to thermosiphon systems. They are installed for different reasons. Direct systems work differently to indirect systems and, once again, installed for different reasons. And one can't just throw a blanket and say, oh, I like direct thermosiphon systems, and that's why I'm going to install it wherever I go. Mm. They exist for a reason, and you can't ignore the fact that they exist to cater for certain things that you need to, certain performance characteristics that need to be taken care of.
It may not be as effective. It may not be effective at all under certain conditions and circumstances and environments, for that matter, where it will be applied to. I hear you. I hear what you're saying, that you can't just say, I'm good at installing this specific method, using this specific method, and therefore that's what I'm going to use, because the effectiveness may be affected.
I mean, it's like why would a pumped system exist if it was totally unnecessary?
Exactly.
obviously, it's there for a purpose. So one needs to recognize what it's there for, what it's capable of, and why other stuff perhaps is not as capable as what you're looking at. Yeah.
All right. So Richard, we're talking about different aspects that should be taken into consideration when you are considering the specific design that you want to use. So what are some of those factors and those circumstances, those conditions?
Mm. Well, for example, geographical location. I mean, where you are. This is South Africa. So we pretty much all got very good solar radiation and sunshine, but still it makes a difference. So, for example, there are freeze prone areas. You can't put the same system in a freeze prone area that you put in Cape Town, for example. You've got to take extra precautions. Things like the building itself that you're trying to install the thing onto, the characteristics of the building. Has it got a north facing roof? Has it only got roof direction is a factor. Shading are factors. Then the habits of the homeowner. When do they ablute? When do they, as a household, do they all shower in the morning? Do they all shower in the evening? Is it interspersed during the day? And what do they expect the thing to do? How do they expect the thing to perform? Is it realistic? Have they got unrealistic expectations? And then, of course, the standards. The standards are need to be followed, although they do... They do require things like protection against freezing, etc. So you can't knowingly in a freeze-prone area go and put a system in that
that won't cater for it.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah. So those are the things. There are, and I would say the biggest two fact. Well, no, I don't want to actually put priorities, but they're all important. Yeah.
Richard, as a consumer, I'm not too clued up to which way a roof should face or. For a solar installation, you mentioned in one of your statements a little bit earlier about a considerable fact should be, does a house or a building have a north-facing roof?
Mm.
Why north-facing? I mean, doesn't the sun rise on the one end and go yep. down on the other end? I mean,
yep. But we're in the southern hemisphere.
Uh-huh.
So the sun essentially, not exactly, but essentially for all intents and purposes, is perpendicular to the equator. So the sun will – we always want to face our solar collectors towards the equator, which is north of us because we're in the southern hemisphere. People in the northern hemisphere will face their panels south towards the equator. And we don't have a movable collector of solar radiation. In other words, the collector that we put in our roof doesn't track the sun. It can't track it from the morning to the evening. There are technologies that exist for that, but it's way too expensive for a domestic situation. So we have to take advantage of what we've got to play with. And what we have to play with is we know where it rises, where it falls. We also know that there's a difference in elevation in the sky between winter and summer. So we need to be a little bit biased to winter, but so that talks about the elevation of the panel, but the orientation, in other words, the direction in which it must face generally is true north, which is different to magnetic north, by the way. Okay. It's about 20 degrees different. So all of these factors need to be taken into account.
So very interesting. I mean,
yeah.
from a consumer's perspective, you know, a consumer does not know these things.
Yeah.
And plumbers, they're the installers. They should know these things, and hence these conversations, hence these technical discussions that we're having.
And hence the designations for, you know, particular designations for technologies, for solar.
And specializations.
Correct.
You know, it's not just anybody that can go and put together or do a solar design, solar system yeah. design and put it and install it.
No. Although many think that it's not that tricky, but there are so many details that if you miss them, it renders the thing all but useless, and it's details that are not obvious.
Again, it goes back to the fact that what works for the one consumer may not work for the other consumer, or what works for the one installer may not work for the other consumer. So let's have a little bit of a discussion, yeah. go into some depth about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just because, as I said earlier, you know, just because your neighbor has A, B, and C system, it doesn't mean it's going to work for your house. The roof structure might be completely different. He might have a flat roof. You might have a pitched roof. Okay, maybe not your direct neighbor, but perhaps he lives in a different estate. There are localized rules and regulations and aesthetic requirements in residential estates. So perhaps you're not allowed to have a visible tank in yours, where he is allowed to have a visible tank, which would mean that you'd need to split the system and so on. Consumer behavior, you will have different abluting habits than he will, which and you must understand that a solar system works with sun. And sun doesn't shine 24/7.
No, it doesn't.
So you need to work around that, and you need to know how to best harness that sun's energy. So if you all shower in the morning, well, you've got to kind of look at that. I'm not going to get into detail now because I could talk for 3 hours, but I'm not going to but yeah, I mean, the way that your building allows for your panel to be located, whether it be orientation or inclination, shading, you might have a big tree in the way where he doesn't, or a chimney for that matter. Perhaps your friend up in Joburg has got completely different climatic conditions than I have in Cape Town.
Yes,
which is true.
So you need absolutely.
So you need to cater different, you know, different to that, et cetera, et cetera. Property size, the pro- proximity between the collector and your actual tank. I mean, all these factors. There's a myriad of factors.
Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy to follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
Welcome back to our conversation, and we continue in our discussion and our conversation around solar system designs. And with me in studio again, as I've introduced him at the beginning, Richard Bailey. Richard, I just wanted the last thing that you mentioned about what works for one consumer doesn't necessarily work for the other consumer was the climatic conditions that you spoke about. But we were also heading towards discussing or just briefly mentioning the proximity of the tank collector.
Yeah, so I mean, it depends. Many homes don't have, or buildings don't have, let me put it this way, are not designed, are not conducive to have a tank and a collector very close to one another. Obviously, the further apart they are, you have to transport that water, and that water is the heat. That's the energy that you're trying to harness. And the further you transport it, the more prone it is to heat loss. So I always say, you know, the one thing I always like to keep in mind and is that there's no such thing as one size fits all, number one. And number two, maybe solar is not even the correct technology for the house. It could be something completely different because of certain factors.
Another factor, property size, does that make a difference?
Yes, certainly. You can have solar systems as big as you like, but you just need to design them properly. You need to design, if you've got a massive house with multiple wings, you know, don't have one centralized system. Rather have satellite systems, or if you want a centralized system, you've got to regulate the flow to those wings, etc. So it's all about design. So yes, anything can be achieved, Willem. It's a matter of will and money and expertise. So you can achieve it, but sometimes it's better to call it quits and say, look, perhaps let's look at a heat pump, for example. Because this isn't so conducive. We're going to have to make a lot of concession. We're going to have to make a lot of changes to accommodate a solar system. So let's look at a heat pump. And that's always an option.
Exactly, because my next question was going to be why these factors. I mean, we've discussed and looked and mentioned quite a few factors that should be taken into consideration when it comes to solar system design. But why are they so important?
Yeah.
And you just mentioned one reason why they're so important.
Well, I mean, there's an analogy that was given to me many years ago by a mentor of mine. Solar systems are finicky. If you've got a geyser is a tank. If it's properly installed, you apply direct heat to it in the form of electrical resistance heating. It heats it up. It's a physical, it's a physics calculation. You know how much energy you require to heat X amount of water. It's done. You install the geyser, you heat it up, it's done. But solar systems are different. They're finicky. And the analogy is that it's like driving a car versus riding a horse. When you drive a car, I know where the gear lever is. I know where the clutch is, the brake pedal, the accelerator, the steering wheel. I can precisely control that car exactly what I want it to do. And I can do that with a geyser because I can control it. It's finite. It's controllable. A solar system is like riding a horse. One day you riding smoothly, and the next thing you get bucked off, and you fall on your backside. So you don't that thing needs everything to be perfectly in place and the details to be taken care of. Like the horse needs to be happy. If it's irritated, you're gonna feel the effects.
Yes.
If the solar system's irritated, you're gonna feel the effects. So and when you start to feel those effects of a solar system, it starts to underperform. The problem with that is you don't realize it. As a consumer, you don't realize that it's underperforming because a regular solar system is always going to be backed up by another energy source. Usually, and I say usually, electrical input. So your element will kick in for the times to compensate for when there isn't enough solar energy to have given you the amount of hot water you need. So you as a consumer are happily showering every day and don't know any different. You could have an underperforming solar system for 7 or 8 months and not even know it.
Yeah. Unless you see a higher bill, electricity
that's
bill.
That's it.
And then you complain. Like, where does this bill come from?
Exactly. And that's the danger with a solar system. If that solar system, for example, didn't have any electrical backup or no backup at all, you'd immediately notice that there's something awry. But most of them do have backup. So consumers do not notice. Mm. And that's the problem.
Hence again, the importance of having a person, an installer with the correct specialization, who's gone through the correct training, has the skills and the competencies and the knowledge to install an effective and a compliant solar system and design it accordingly.
Yeah.
Take all those factors into consideration to have it as effective as possible.
Yeah, and for me, one of the big things is the understanding of the functioning of a solar system. And if you understand how it works and, more importantly, what would make it not work, then you know what to look for. And if you don't have that understanding, if you've just got a very basic kind of assumed knowledge of, well, as long as that's got sunlight on it and it's connected to there, then it'll work. But it won't. So if you don't have that specific knowledge, you're going to get it wrong. 8 times out of 10, you're going to get it wrong. And the consumer doesn't know.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. And let's not forget that there are requirements in the standards for performance of solar systems. Mm. You can't just put a solar system in and call it a day. It needs to perform to a certain set of it needs to perform
to the applicable standards.
To a requirement.
Thereof.
So briefly, I'll just tell you what those are. And in new installations, there's a clause in there's a standard called SANS 10400 XA, which is energy conservation in buildings. And XA2 speaks about hot water usage and so on. And basically what you need to ensure if you're putting in any new hot water installation in the country, you need to ensure that half of it, 50% of it, is taken care of by alternative means annually. Now, what that means is that if you have a beautiful solar system functioning like a butte during the summer months, but it's not functioning during the winter months, well, something's got to compensate for the other. So it's a 12-month period that you've got to calculate, and you've got to achieve 50%. Now, there are calculations and there are rules of thumb that can be that you pretty much know it's going to be achieved. So there are requirements. That is it's one of the things that we need to be aware of.
That's the XA2 that you mentioned about now.
XA2. And of course, if it performs, your payback period, because your capital outlay versus your payback period is always going to be a factor, that's going to be achieved within a reasonable amount of time, 4 or 5 years easily, that you'll pay it back, and then it'll start paying you.
So one could almost say that a badly designed and installed solar system will be always a waste of time and money. Is that correct? Can I make that assumption?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, look, I'll give you an example. In a split system, now I'm trying to not get technical, but in a system where the solar collector, in other words, the panel that you see on the roof, is above the level of your geyser, it's higher than your geyser. Remember what happens to heat and heated water. It is always going to rise to the top.
Exactly.
Now, a system like that where the panel is above the geyser is pumped because you have to force that heat from a higher position downwards into the geyser. So it's pumped and it's controlled and everything's happy. But what happens when it's overnight and the collector now is colder than the water in the geyser? Where's that water want to go? It wants to go upwards, and it will go upwards. It will form a circuit, and it's what we call reverse thermosiphon. So all of that gathered and gained heat that you've struggled and strived to get during the day is now just essentially radiated out into the atmosphere overnight. And the thing, and so your solar system essentially is doing zero work. Okay, so you, that's a waste of time. Now, how do you combat that? Well, a simple non-return valve installed in the correct way in a serviceable position between two shutoff valves that can be looked at and serviced. That's a simple detail, but a detail nonetheless that some people leave out. Now that renders the thing useless. So that's why I say details are critical.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand the concept of, yes, it feels hot on my hand, the sunshine, and I must just put that a panel and put it into the thing. Mm. But that's not all that it is.
Yeah, there's a lot more details, involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how can one be sure that they are getting the right system?
From a consumer's perspective, you've got to interrogate the installer. It's like anything. I mean, if I'm going to go for an operation, I know I'm comparing to a member of public out there. They're going to be saying, "Yeah, how can you compare a plumber to a surgeon?" Well, I can because we are both specialists and we are both have got our own professions. So I can.
Your field of expertise.
Absolutely. So, or a financial advisor for that matter, or whatever the case may be, an accountant. So if I'm going to go and hire an accountant or a knee surgeon, I'm going to interrogate that guy and I want to know his qualifications. Mm. And the same thing with a plumber. So he's got to be suitably qualified. And in this country, you need to be special. You need to be accredited solar and or heat pump. Well, whichever one of the two you're installing, we're talking about solar. So he needs to be an accredited solar installer. That will be shown on as a designation on his PRB registration card. And he must issue a certificate of compliance on that installation. Remembering that a certificate of compliance, when it's issued and logged, it's subject to audit. Mm. And it'll be audited, well, not will be, it could be audited. And if anything's found to be shortcoming, he will be asked to rectify. So there's recourse for the consumer. That's the thing. Another thing that's vitally important of an installer, and the consumers don't really know this, he's got to hand over operating instructions, warranty cards. He's got to leave the consumer with at least a reasonable understanding as to how the thing operates, why it needs to be looked after, how it must be looked after, what the importance of it is. If the consumer understands that certain things – if neglected, will result in them losing money.
Mm.
They will make sure it's not neglected.
Exactly.
So it's up to the installer, and a responsible and good installer will do it. And there's hundreds of guys that do it. So it's happening, but this is for it's sort of a check, belts and braces check for the consumer to be able to double check. Ask questions of the installer. Ask him, how does this work? Why is that there? What is this valve for? What's that funny little thing there? What does that do? Why? Why does my temperature fluctuate like this? Mm. Why am I hearing that sound? Ask as many questions as you can. Remember, you're not supposed to be an expert. And so there's no such thing as a silly question or whatever.
Yeah.
So as an installer, we need to answer those questions and we need to answer them properly and make an effort to try and get the homeowner to understand how this thing works, not in detail, but just overall sort of overview.
In layman's terms, for a lack of better terms to use now, in layman's terms, just explain to the consumer.
That's exactly right.
The fact is, Richard. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but the fact is, Richard, that consumers do not have that knowledge about these installations, and. The installers can choose to use that to their advantage, or they can actually take a little bit of pride in what they do and give and share that knowledge with the consumer. After all, it is for the consumer that the job is done.
Well, you've just hit the nail on the head, because that's the two – isn't it? That's exactly the two types of installations we see out there, isn't it? I mean, the one guy that takes pride and actually wants the thing to do its and fulfill its function – and the other that, as you say, unfortunately takes advantage of the ignorance of the consumer and just doesn't care and just moves on to the next one.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's something that only the consumer can guard against.
Mm.
They've got to accept a certain amount of responsibility for their own, you know, installations and interrogate it exactly the same way as I interrogate my financial advisor or whatever.
Absolutely. So, Richard, just before I rudely interrupted you there by mentioning about the knowledge of the consumer, you're about to say, you're about to add to what you were saying about being sure of getting the right system?
Yeah. I was just going to add that, I mean, if the consumer is so inclined, or if they're, if it can be done, and a lot of consumers are this way inclined, monitor your electricity use before and after the installation. You know, for a couple of weeks before, you know you're going to get it installed, and then keep an eye on it a couple of weeks after. And at least it's not going to be the beginning and end of accuracy and definitive measurement as to whether it was a successful installation or a good installation. But yes, it gives you a good idea as to whether it's actually saving you anything.
Effective. Just some form of indication of the effectiveness of the installation.
Yeah. Correct.
Just before wrapping up this conversation, have a listen to this. We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Richard, can a solar system be designed to meet every conceivable condition?
Yeah, that's a good question, because a lot of consumers assume that it can. Consumers, as I say, are, and we are human beings, you know, we are human animals, and myself, I'm very suggestible. So, you know, I hear what my friends and peers, have experienced, and I say, geez, that would be nice for me, you know. And so human beings do that. So just because, as I said earlier, your neighbor has a system that works for him, and remembering, of course, that your neighbor's opinion around the braai fire is subjective. Not only that, but it's also slightly defensive, because he's just dumped 50K on it. Okay, so now he doesn't want to admit that it's not working so lekker. All right, so it's quite subjective. The point is that no, it can't be, it doesn't work for every conceivable situation. There are lots of situations where I would much rather say, no, get a heat pump, look at something else. So, no, the absolute answer is no. Don't just get sold on solar as an idea and think that it can be applied to every single situation, because it can't.
Absolutely. Richard, I think that concludes our conversation on solar. I know that you mentioned a little earlier in the conversation that we can carry on for hours.
Yeah.
This is one of your favorite topics and favorite subjects to discuss. You're also an expert in the field. I mean, you present a course in solar installation.
Yeah.
Along with others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think that concludes our conversation for today. And I do believe that we've shared absolute valuable information with the audience, whether they be installers, whether they be the consumer.
Yeah.
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 So I want to thank you. Thanks for, and it was so lekker having you in studio.
For the first time.
Yeah. In studio with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
We usually speak over quite a distance. You in Cape Town, me down Joburg side. So, lucky to have you here.
Thanks
for the information. Thanks for your time. Thanks to the audience for having tuned in and listened.
Thanks for having tuned in. Make sure to read more about the PIRB on our website at pirb.co.za and on our social media channels, like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.